Here on Dodger Weekly on KVFD, AM 1400, the voice of Fort Dodge, the program that brings you to newsmakers and movers and shakers from all around your local area. It's a good Friday morning to you. Glad to have you along. Glad to be back on the program after a holiday hiatus. And right now, I'm joined by my next guest. He's the Iowa State Senator for District 24, newly elected back in the fall. He's Jesse Green, making his first appearance on the program. And Jesse, it's good to have you, and I do appreciate you taking the time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to start out a new year, and it looks like we have a new agenda coming forward for the at the Capitol, and I can't wait to get to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you officially take office next week, right?
Yes, sir. It's next Monday at 10 o'clock is inauguration.
Okay, so you'll be sworn in and all that, but I know that you have started getting your ducks in a row and that kind of thing and getting in line to focus on your agenda and what you want to do in office. You know, I invited you to come on the show for several reasons, but one of the things really sparked my interest, Jesse, was I did an article on yourfortdodge.com a few weeks ago about the battle over the bottle bill that's going on in the state, and I saw that you had some comments on it, and it's something that you're going to focus on in office. Now, for folks that don't know what we're talking about, the bottle bill, of course, is being kind of presented in court as the Iowa DNR has, I guess, for lack of a better term, decided not to revisit the bill, and the Grocery Association has taken issue with that. Of course, the changes the Grocery Association's kind of looking at, or at least wants to have revisited, are that grocery stores would no longer have to redeem bottles, and only redemption centers would take those redemptions at that time. I think here, Jesse, from what I can gather from what you feel, and I'm going to let you elaborate, you would like to see that happen, that more redemption centers being built and redemption centers being the only places to redeem bottles and kind of free grocers up to do what they do other than to take these redemptions, right?
Yeah, well, to start this conversation, I'd like to begin with the things that I believe there's basically everybody agrees on. And so the first thing is this. The current bottle bill, I think if you did a poll, probably 90% of people would say it needs to be changed. The next thing that comes up, we just went through a pandemic and everybody is sensitive about sanitary issues. And from the people that I've talked to, I haven't heard one person that thinks it makes a lot of sense that grocers or retail be responsible for redemption. So the next thing that was shocking was this is the beauty of a campaign and getting out there to talk to voters. If you gave voters the option of either getting rid of the bottle bill or bumping it up to 7 cents and doubling the handling fee or bumping it up to 10 cents and leaving all retail exempt, I would think that poll would come back about 80% that people want to see it bumped up to 10 cents. I live in a very Republican district, a very conservative district, and that was very surprising to me to hear that. So I feel it's my job to represent my voters, and that's the message that I hear. So that's my first choice, is to take it up to 10 cents and double the handling fee and do what the voters desire. In this situation where you leave retail exempt, I believe that you'll see new redemption centers popping up and some new excitement about the bottle bill. This is a bipartisan issue. I kind of gather there's, you know, maybe half of the legislators in the Senate are for just getting rid of the bottle bill altogether, and the other half are willing to take a look at this and bump it up to 10 cents. I look forward to this for being one of my first issues to kind of put my hands around. It is kind of a complicated thing. There's a lot of pieces to this. You have the distributors that I've heard numbers of about $31 to $32 million is what distributors keep in unredeemed cans, and so it's a very interesting complex issue.
Yeah, it really is. It does have a lot of moving parts, as you mentioned. Jesse Green, State Senator, District 24, is my guest here, talking a little bit about the bottle bill and the legal battle that looks like it's going to ensue later in January as the Iowa Grocery Industry Association and the DNR have kind of butted heads on this, and it will go to Polk County District Court later in the month. I wanted to ask you here, you know, the people that are opposed to revisiting and maybe revising the bill say that the bill as it is helps Iowa maintain a high rate of recycling, ranking in the top five among U.S. states. Do you believe that if this was changed, that ranking would fall off? Because that's what kind of it seems like proponents of the bill are trying to say, that if it was changed, that recycling would fall off.
Well, it depends what part you change. There's many ways that you can change this. So, the bottle bill has been a success because I believe behavior has changed. You don't see the trash in the ditches that you saw back in 1978 when it was first established. But you got to look at that number of the 31, 32 million that the distributors are keeping because of unredeemed cans. That means if people are not redeeming them, that means they're just throwing them away. So I believe if we keep this law, which we should, then you need to make it profitable for everybody to be responsible with how we deal with our cans and stuff. So the proponents of getting rid of the bill altogether, they tap into that sentiment of that behavior has changed, and I think they're right that behavior has changed. But I'm sorry, when you go through a campaign and most of your voters are in favor of bumping it up, there's politics for you.
Well, and you know, it makes some sense, that theory does, because I know in other countries, like Germany, for instance, they've got a 25-cent redemption on bottles in Germany, and that's why they have some of the lowest amount of litter. They have a really clean country, because when you're paying 25 cents for the bottle, you're going to take it back to have it redeemed normally there. So there is some sense definitely in that theory, I think, but I do also believe that you touched on something that's a good point. You know, the thing that's really being challenged by the Grocery Association is the convenience standard in the bill. And that, to me, does need to be revised, because what was convenient in 1978, 1980 is not the same. Conveniences have changed. Modern technology have made things more convenient than they were then. And I do think that probably needs to be revised. Your thoughts on that point?
Well, you're right. I was shocked when I heard that the bottle bill was first established in 1978, and nothing has changed with it since then. We all know inflation and different factors change. And the last time I can recall seeing somebody carrying a bag of cans to a convenience store or whatever, I think I was like 10 years old. The current bill just does not reflect what's happening on the ground, and that's the beauty of government and law, is that our laws need to reflect what's actually happening.
I agree. Jesse Green is my guest, Iowa State Senate District 24, taking office next week officially. You know, in your campaign, Jesse, I heard you make some comments when you visited with Mike Devine a couple of times about educational funding. I know that one of the things you want to focus on in office is really getting into the educational budget and really examining it from A to Z, right?
Yeah, the education budget is 54% of the budget. If in your first year you can understand 54% of the budget inside and out, I think that's a success for a first year legislator. Now, due to COVID, this is going to be a hard conversation. Right. I'm actually not on the education committee, and I'm so grateful for the colleagues that are on that. You see professors, you see educators, you see veterans. That have been in the Capitol for a long time on that committee, and that's for a reason. This is going to be a tough conversation this year. There's I I believe I'm accurate in saying that there's a 6,000 pupil drop in enrollment across the state. With how we fund education, that's a big issue. And
sure,
there's going to be a lot of people that are afraid of what future school boards are going to have to work with for funding. So I guess my angle is this is an opportunity to look at how to change how we fund education. That is my concern. And of course, in a true school choice situation, the money follows the child. Wherever the parent best thinks fit for the for their family and child, the money should follow that. Of course, whether that's private education, homeschool, it doesn't cost. The costs are way different than public schools, so I'm not sure how to properly tweak those numbers. But anyway, I just know that education this year, that is going to be such a sensitive topic, and God bless that committee, and I wish them the best.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a good point, and wanted to ask you, do you feel like there's going to be adjustments that are needed in terms of how you fund education, where you put the money within education? Would there be needed adjustments because of the increase in virtual learning?
Adjustments are going to have to be made. That's the one thing I can confidently say, and that everybody I talk to sees. The circumstances have changed. COVID has come, and it has completely rattled society and how we function. So when how we function changes, how we fund things changes. And so I hope everybody is very tender about this topic and graceful, and that we can get through this. But on the positive note, I'd rather be in this state than any other state, because we're sitting in very good fiscal shape. Money should not be the object. We need to figure out the right way to fund education, and we'll go out and find the money. And here in Iowa, man, I'm so grateful to be a part of this legislature, because I've heard reports in California they could see a 15% drop in revenue. Could you imagine those education conversations?
Wow.
With that?
Yeah, because you're making some hard choices at that point. You're living with a lot of different things. Jesse Green, State Senator, District 24, my guest here on the program. Before we let you go here, Jesse, anything that you want to get out to the public here?
Well, saddle up and buckle up, because it's going to be a fun year. I think we're going to see one thing that comes to mind is tort reform. All the states around us have tort reform caps on non-economic damages for malpractice lawsuits. Usually that cap's about $500,000 or $750,000. I expect to see something happen with that. Expect something to get done with broadband. I think all the pieces of the puzzle are there. I think the funding is available. We have 160 telephone cooperatives. That's a very large amount for our state. I hope my job is more to hit the ground and talk to those telephone cooperatives and see if we can put these pieces of the puzzle together. I think you're going to see major tax reform. Our state has the second highest income tax rate in the nation, or in the Midwest anyway. We have the highest corporate tax rate in the nation. We have such a large volume of tax credits, and this is because of our complicated tax code. I believe in this environment that the opportunity is here to get rid of some of those tax credits and have real tax reform, bring property tax relief and income tax relief to the taxpayer. And I look forward to those conversations. I'm on 8 committees. Ways and Means is one of those committees, and I can't wait to get to work for District 24.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely sounds like you're going to have your plate full, and you're going to hit the ground running starting next week. And certainly we wish you best of luck here in your freshman campaign, or your freshman tenure, I should say, as the state senator for District 24. I do appreciate the time, and we'll have to have you on again and talk about some more of the issues as we go along and get an update on what's going on there in the Iowa State Senate from you.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. It's an honor to be your senator, and it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I'll get a hold of me anytime. I love to talk.